بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the noble prophet, the believers of his family, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. In this month of Ramadan, of the year 1425 after the Hijrah, the migration of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we have covered so far some basics and principles regarding the fasting, its goals, fasting, its merits, fasting, its wisdoms, fastings, fasting, its rulings. And today, inshallah, we'll start a class on the ahadith of fasting, the prophetic traditions related to fasting or on fasting. The first hadith is the hadith reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تقدموا رمضان بصوم يوم ولا يومين إلا رجل كان يصوم صوما من فليصمه. In the hadith related by Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not precede the month of Ramadan with a day or two of fasting, except for a person fasting a particular fast, then let him fast. This prohibition to precede the month of Ramadan by fasting a day or two is affirmed in this hadith with an exception. So the prohibition here is regarding those who intend to fast a day or two before the month of Ramadan out of so-called precaution. We know that fasting is a prescribed matter, is a prescribed worship, limited to a certain time. And that is the sighting of the moon. So fasting before that, based on this attitude of being precautionary, is transgressing the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is a pretext to increase things to worship. This prohibition, is it a prohibition of dislike, karaha, or forbiddance, tahreem? Some scholars say it is for tahreem. Others consider it as for karaha, dislike. Those who said that it is forbidden are with the opinion that if he fasts a day or two before Ramadan, then he is disobedient and his fasting is rejected upon him. Those who said that it is disright say that he is not sinful and his fasting is accepted. This argument that his fasting is accepted and is not sinful, our Shaykh rahimahullah commented on it saying, how could it be acceptable when it is not an obedience? And how could it be said that it is accepted? And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever does an action which is not in accordance with our way will be rejected. So we say with firmness that his fasting is rejected. Then his fasting is rejected. Now, will he be held sinful or not? This is based upon whether the prohibition is considered disliked or the prohibition is for tahreem. What are the benefits of this hadith? First benefit, that it is permissible to fast after or beyond the half of Sha'ban, which precedes Ramadan. There is a hadith here to remind everyone about, that hadith related by Abu Huraira. If Sha'ban reaches its half, then don't fast, and no one shall fast, in another narration. When Sha'ban reaches its half, cease hold from fasting until Ramadan comes. First, this hadith, there is difference concerning its authenticity. Some considered it authentic, some considered it inauthentic. No one, however, said that the prohibition to fast or not to fast beyond the half of Sha'ban, no one said that the forbidden, it is for forbiddance. Those who considered this hadith authentic said it is disliked to fast beyond the half of Sha'ban. And assuming that the hadith is authentic, then it may be considered to be applicable on those who fast voluntarily starting the middle of Sha'ban. However, those who have a habit of fasting Mondays and Thursdays, or fasting one day and breaking another, or continuously fasting the month of Sha'ban, or he or she has to make up certain days they missed during this month of Sha'ban, to make them up during this month of Sha'ban, then they are not included in this hadith, assuming it is authentic. And it is affirmed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast during the month of Sha'ban. To the extent that Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, mentioned that he used to fast Sha'ban to the extent that he would link it, he used to link it with Ramadan. And this does not stand to oppose the hadith we are talking about now, because it falls under the exception in the second part of the hadith. Because his fasting was something he was used to, And in the hadith it says, except for someone who used to have a habit of fasting. So in this case, therefore, the exception, therefore, covers them all. The second benefit is the protection of the limits set by the Sharia. Protection of the limits set by the Sharia. So that no one comes and say, سأصوم احتياطا, I will fast out of precaution. This is a transgression. How do you take a precaution concerning a matter which Allah had prescribed and timed? Where Allah stated in the Quran, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ, and anyone who witnesses the crescent sighting of the month of Ramadan, then he must fast. So that's why here, the prohibition of fasting a day or two before the month of Ramadan, so that the limits of Sharia are to be adhered to. The third benefit, if there is a reason or a cause, apparent one, that is done as a habit, not to object to the limits set by Sharia, and the limit is to fast when the crescent is sought, and not to do anything precautionary, no fasting to be done precautionary. If it is a habit, then that is excluded in the hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ said, except for a person fasting a particular fast, then let him fast it. This is like the issue with Salah. We know there is prohibition to pray during certain times. If there is a reason to pray within these times, a legal reason, then one can pray. So in the case of fasting, if someone, for example, is fasting a voluntary fast on Monday or Thursday, and this coincides to be a day or two before Ramadan, then we say to him, fast, and there is nothing upon you, no prohibition. Or, in the case of the person who fasts regularly 3 days of every month, and then for some reason he couldn't do them as he used to, and then they coincided there remained only 3 days at the end of Sha'ban, then he can fast these final days of Sha'ban. A third situation, if he has to make up certain days from the previous Ramadan, which he missed, then he can make them up a day or two before the next Ramadan, and there is nothing upon him. A fourth situation, if the person makes a vow to say, like for example, if such and such comes on this day, then I will make a vow to fast on that day. And then it coincides that this person comes a day or two before Ramadan. Then he fulfills his vow. Another situation, if the person is on a regular habit of fasting one day and breaking another, and it coincides, his fasting day coincides to be a day, coincides with a day or 2 days before Ramadan, then he can fast them. These cases, there is no harm on the person to fast the 29th or the 30th of Sha'ban. On these cases we mentioned, there is no harm on the person to fast on the 29th or the 30th of Sha'ban. This brings the end of the discussion regarding this first hadith. And inshallah tomorrow we'll take another hadith, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq and to make our actions, sayings purely for his face. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.